Fred. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on over there? Fire?
How you doing, Stanky Leg?
What's up, man?
High five from everyone.
Took it to the limit.
I have a horrible foot fetish.
Do you?
Let's go, Red Sox.
I'm Leo.
Let's go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Go, Red Sox.
Hear me like a bow, bow, bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah.
Hey, you fired up?
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
I need you riding shotgun. I'm on my way to Flavortown.
Little guys. I mean, it's hot, man. After we eat, we got to do some burnouts in this Camaro.
Burnouts. Hell yeah. What are you going to do today? I don't know. Some burnouts in the marrow. Don't worry about it. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program. Last night, a disappointment for the Boston Celtics. As they lose 111-102 to the Cleveland, over there, Cavaliers. Missing jams.
The one thing that can make you feel good, even after a loss like that, is if you follow someone like Joe Murray on Twitter, and he'll just randomly just put, they hit the over, and then he'll just put a little dollar sign, so.
Yeah, Joe Murray's all right.
Yep.
He's living large.
Mm-hmm. The bankroll boys did okay last night, apparently. Although, yeah. I think Livshed stayed away from the game. He did not.
Livshed, he wanted to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Yeah, he saw the referee assignments, and he's like, nope. I am not going to gamble on this one, whereas Joe Murray said, I'll gamble on anything.
Yeah. Livshed was just like, there's a race in Saudi Arabia. There's a big horse race in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Saudi
Arabia. Some harness racing, like in Greece.
Yeah, he said that. Why not bet on that? But Joe Murray and Dan Livshatz, both degenerate gamblers, gambling on the game last night. You missed a lot of, if you're watching it, they missed a lot of donks.
Yeah.
They would get up there with the ball at rim level, and then all of a sudden the ball's not in the hoop.
Yeah. Jason Tatum himself had three alone, three of his.
The team had 15. Well, miss layups and dunks.
Which is, you make five of those, you win the game. But, my God, that was embarrassing. There was one brick dunk that, from that moment on, it was over. Like, the first, like, 6-7 minutes of the game, it seemed to be a competitive, you know, everything seemed to be like, all right, the Celtics showed up. And then Jason Tatum bricks a dunk, and I think LeBron goes back and scores. And from then on, it was just off to the races. And you just knew that there probably was no chance they would make it back after that.
I don't know. I actually thought in the fourth quarter they were down 7 with 7 minutes to go, and they'd been steadily climbing their way back into the game for most of the evening. I thought they had a chance.
It was just
they were playing pretty well.
It was two bad starts in a row, and I think that they've got to start Baines next game. Marcus, whatever Marcus Morris is doing, that magic he had in game one is gone.
Well, three fouls in the first, like, 2 minutes of the game.
I think that had a lot to do with
it. Well, he's also making bad decisions, and he's taking bad shots. I just think that...
Part of the package.
Well, look at the success they had when Baines was in there. I mean, when Baines was in there, you're able to have him take care of Tristan Thompson, and that way it frees up Al Horford. And Al Horford is essential to the success of this team right now. Every time Al Horford gets involved, good things happen. And I hate to say it, Tristan Thompson has done an excellent job on locking down Horford.
Well, I mean,
and think of rebounds.
Tyloo said specifically. I mean, he's like he magically found that stat that Tristan Thompson is the best player to guard Al Horford in the league,
and it worked.
Well, yeah, yep. I don't think that changes whether or not Marcus Morris is in there.
Well, I think it does if you put Baines in there.
Then you lose the ability to stretch the floor.
Well, without Baines, you're getting no defensive rebounds, like none. I mean, you saw that last night. They weren't getting anything off the boards until Baines came in.
Well, both teams had 9 offensive rebounds last night. It wasn't defensive boards, right?
I mean, it was just.
Honestly, it wasn't as though it was a volleyball match underneath either for Cleveland. I mean, the Celtics didn't play well early. Then they leveled off and they missed a lot of easy shots.
You know what the crazy thing about that game is, and it didn't feel that way, but they dug themselves in such a hole in the first quarter. You know, the Celtics outscored the Cavaliers in the final three quarters.
Yeah.
They outscored them, but they just got so far behind there at the beginning.
They look
they
like
claw out of it.
They look like a team that was young and playing their biggest game of their lives. They look like it.
Well,
that's why you miss. I mean, Jaylen Brown said it afterwards. We were rushing. We got close to the rim and we rushed.
Well, Jaylen Brown also had Korver on him for a good period of time.
Inexcusable.
And I have no idea why they didn't take advantage of that match.
Well, Korver rejected Jaylen Brown twice.
First half was
I understand that, but...
Oh, and boy, did they have an orgasm on TV.
Well,
they were like, oh, Korver's... See, we were right about him being great defensively.
But, I mean, you should. But, I mean, Korver's terrible defensively, and you have a great athlete that's against him, and there's no excuse for that.
Second half... Brown kind of found himself, and they tried the Korver matchup again, and Brown started to take advantage of that. But the first half was ridiculous.
Well, I don't know how it's physically possible that you could have an athlete of Brown's.
Listen to Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy. They'll tell you. They'll spend 90 seconds to 2 minutes while the game was going on telling you how awesome Kyle Korver. Look at all the effort. And there was a loose ball where four guys raced down the court, and Korver was one of them. He dove. He missed.
Oh, my God. You're right.
He missed the ball. Look at the effort. He dove and missed, and the three guys outran him, and Terry Rozier actually knocked it out of bounds. Look at the effort by Kyle Korver.
I mean, Mark Jackson had to put his pants back on after that one. I mean, you're right. It was like he just knocked into it. Like, that is the play of the game right there, Kyle Korver.
Yeah,
he tripped.
He sprinted up the floor, got beat by three guys, and the ball happened to bounce off Terry Rozier out of bounds.
Well, play the game.
A big love letter to Kyle Korver for long periods of time last night.
Well, I mean, Brown would be isolated on Korver in the first half, and you say, why don't you give him the ball and just let him just embarrass Korver? But that didn't happen.
No, Korver embarrassed him twice.
No. I think he
actually was credited with three block shots. They were saying
there was one that wasn't really a block shot.
Well, he didn't get foul shots from it. So, I mean, I think that he was holding it and was knocked out of his hands. But for some reason on the stat sheet, it was called a shot attempt. But, however, he didn't get to the free throw line.
Very frustrating night to watch because I keep thinking the Celtics actually could have won that game if they hadn't made so many silly mistakes. How many bad turnovers? How many balls that were saved underneath right to LeBron James or right to Kevin Love for a layup?
I just think that's why you got to start. You got to start Baines. I whatever Marcus Morris is doing doesn't seem to be working. I mean, LeBron, his whole job is to slow down LeBron. LeBron in the past two games has not been slowed down.
Well,
the last three games has not been slowed down.
I think the Celtics solved a couple of things defensively in the second half. For instance, in the first half, whoever was guarding Terry Rozier would come out and set a screen for LeBron, and the big guy would switch on to Rozier, and LeBron kept dumping into the low post. They picked on Terry Rozier for two quarters. And then in the second half, I think the Celtics solved some things defensively, which leaves me with some hope for Game 5 tomorrow night. I think this Celtic team is growing up. They played much better in the final three quarters after looking completely scared again in quarter number one, and that's after they got blown out on Saturday night. I think they solved a few things. I think Tatum and Jaylen Brown found their footing in a big game like that. And they have a home court advantage for Game 5. I have a real positive outlook for tomorrow night, regardless of what just happened.
There's also, last night was a perfect example of just how valuable a guy like Kyrie Irving is. I mean, someone who can close out quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Just, I mean, the way that they ended, I think three of the four quarters ended with just a run that was ugly. Turnovers, and a lot of that was from Marcus Smart. So, but you have a guy like Kyrie Irving, and... you know, who's been there, done that before. The guy has ice in his veins, home court away. It does not matter. And it just shows how valuable and how different
it is. Now you want to trade away Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward? You want to do that now?
Well, I've never wanted to do that.
I'm just saying. Gordon brought that up and that took off for a while there.
It was interesting because no one had brought that up before.
Right.
Anyone who thinks that you're getting rid of Kyrie Irving and you think that Rozier is going to be an acceptable replacement is crazy. You don't realize that guy is what games like this were made for. He would have been perfect in that situation.
And Rozier played a little bit better in the second half also, after looking really scared in half number one.
The
entire team did.
All right, well, you had their one of them losses. So it's 2-2. The Celtics struggling on the road these playoffs. But they've been dominant at home. So you would look at this game five and you would say, this is the... this is it. If the Celtics lose game five, I would imagine
that's it. They have to win tomorrow night.
Absolutely. Sure.
It's a must win.
Yep.
It's a must win situation.
Yep. Well, not
and
only.
That's all I have to say.
Okay. Well, I mean, listen, everything seems to be going according to plan. The home teams have won. Everyone's defended home court, which I guess that. All I know is that when would game seven be? Would it be Sunday night?
Sunday night.
Okay.
Wednesday, Friday, Sunday.
When do the Red Sox get back in town?
Thursday.
Okay. Because I'm thinking ahead. Poor Nick is sick, and he's going to be out for a while. Like, he's in the hospital set.
What's up with him?
He's staying overnight at the hospital. What has he got? I don't know if I should talk about it on the air, but he's sick.
What is it? Something bad that he?
No,
that
it's just I don't think that I'm supposed to talk about. I mean, he's sick, so I don't. Right, I don't know if he wants the world to know what he has. It's nothing.
Is it embarrassing?
No, it's not that it's embarrassing. It's just that I don't think he wants the world to know. So I'll ask his permission first.
Has he told you specifically?
His dad told me. His dad actually texted me.
So Mark Cimelli.
That's right.
Did his dad say not to tell?
My name is Mark Cimelli.
No, but I'm going to make sure that. You know, he gives me permission. I don't think it's fair. You know, if he wants the world to know what he has, then I'm not going to say it.
Why?
Because I think that there's kind of like rules against that, isn't there?
No.
Okay.
There's no rule. I mean, if he's in the he's in the hospital. Is he in grave danger of dying?
No, but he's going to be in there for a while.
AIDS?
Yeah, so he's going to be... No, it's not AIDS. But he's going to be there, which means I was trying to figure
leprosy?
Out who's getting recaps if Bird is going to be working the
Let's
Red
Sox play a
game. Games.
Can we guess the ailment?
No. I mean, you can, but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Can we guess?
No.
John, what do you guess it is?
I got staph infection, Fred.
Ooh, staph infection. That's a good guess.
That would suck.
So you say you got a wound, and then there was a staph infection?
Oozing, yeah.
Hmm.
That's my guess, and I'm sticking with it.
All right, so it's not AIDS. It's not leprosy. He's going to be in the hospital for a while, but it's not. You're saying it's not fatal?
I don't think so.
Well, door's open.
I don't know.
Door's open to fatal. Does this involve his kidneys?
I don't know.
That's a yes.
So it does involve his kidneys.
I'm not going to tell you what he's got.
No, but you can say yes or no. Does it involve his kidneys?
No, I can't. I'm not going to tell you.
Well, you would say no if it wasn't his kidneys.
I'm not going to tell you what it is. I'm not going to tell you one way or the other.
So
Get
is
him,
it
Fred.
His kidneys?
Get him!
Does he need a kidney transplant? Is Bird a match?
Now, that would be the story of stories right there.
Yeah. Is Bird a match?
Because the whole Nick Bird thing's kind of weird to begin with.
It's got to be killing him, too, because this is his big week. Down the street, there's like a Ferris wheel up down on the road, too.
They put a Ferris wheel up?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I didn't see that.
I don't remember there being festivals where it takes like 2 weeks to set up. Like, it's already up there, which is great.
All right, so, John, it was a stomach ailment.
It was? I didn't even know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that right?
It was, that much we know.
Okay.
That it was a stomach ailment that was bothering him.
Okay.
Rhea?
Well, I don't think that's hospitalization.
Well, you could have such bad rhea. Crohn's disease.
I think you can actually have rhea bad enough to go to the hospital, sure.
Oh, absolutely.
There's the answer, right?
Dehydration.
All right.
Well, it's not dehydration because he's going to be in the hospital for a while. It might be a symptom of it.
Mm.
Crohn's disease.
You want me to say yes or no? No,
yes.
I told you I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that.
Well, no, you know what? Just say no. If you say no.
I'm not going to tell you anything about his ailment. I said that. I'm not going to tell.
Did Jamelli's dad ask you not to?
No. He did not. Now, if you want to call him and ask him, sure, fine. If you want to say if it's okay, we can say it on the air.
I can't. I mean, he's not going to answer the phone. He's all in the hospital. Tony, go ahead.
Fred, you're a tool. It's called HIPAA, Health Information Privacy and Protection Act.
That's for doctors.
It's for everybody.
No, it's not. It's for doctors.
Go ahead. Get sued. Go ahead.
Oh, you think Nick's going to sue me because he's got diarrhea?
Sue you. Everybody should sue you just because you're you. You're Fred. You need to get sued.
Well, I have been sued. The guy got a cool $8,000 out of it, and it ruined his career. All right.
Fred, chill, Frederick.
I'm not upset. I'm having fun. I want to know what's wrong with Nick. Rich said he's not going to die. So,
well, I didn't say that.
You can't do these things.
You said that it's unlikely he's going to die.
Well, you said, do I think he's going to die? I said, I don't think so.
So it's something that could kill him.
I don't know. I actually don't know.
Is it a disease?
I don't know. There's a lot of this I don't know.
This is like a party game.
Yeah.
Well, once he said that he couldn't die from it, I was having fun. But, I mean, if he's on death's door, I won't talk about it anymore. Is he on death's door?
I don't know. All I know is he's been in the hospital for a while now.
Now you can't now. He's not
this
sure.
This is 4 days in the hospital?
All right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. If he's, and it doesn't look like he's getting out anytime soon.
Okay, well, if he's that sick, I'll stop. I thought that it was just...
No. This is. I mean, he's been there for a while.
Okay,
so.
Well, I'll stop. I won't make light of it. I thought that everything was okay and that he was just in the hospital. So I will stop now. I don't need Mr. Gemelli after me.
We might need somebody to do recaps, though. I think Bert...
you're more cold-hearted than me.
What's that? Well, we need to find somebody. After, the show's got to go on. Are you working Friday? Are you working this weekend at Fenway?
I can leave early to go get audio for the game.
They will let you leave your job at the Red Sox.
I'm not feeling good about that. That's
to go
not
do
good.
Recaps?
It's a 1 o'clock game.
What day? On Sunday?
8:30?
Yeah, the Celtics game would be Sunday night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay, then you could do it. What about Friday?
Yeah, I could do Friday.
Wednesday. I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, Wednesday, they're away. Okay, good. So Sunday you can do it? Perfect. Excellent.
All right. Well, that's all settled.
Good.
Now, problem solved.
Now
I need to know
Wednesday.
What's wrong with Nick. Do you know Dan? Don't say it on the air.
I do not. I actually reached out to Nick twice on phone call and once on text and did not receive any reply.
Same with me.
And the only thing update I got was from Rich.
And you know it's kind of serious when it was his dad that texted me. Not
right. Exactly. Well, all right.
So Nick's
I will stop. I didn't know it was so serious. I apologize to everybody, especially the people involved with HIPAA. But I did not realize it was this serious. Because it'll be egg in my face if something bad happens. So I will stop. All right. We will have more about the Celtics and so much else.
We all have our morning routine.
The kids ain't going to learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie. Let's go.
Recapping what you missed with Toucher and Rich.
Five, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, not a good night for the Celtics.
No, for the second game in a row, the Celtics dig themselves in a hole they can't get out of.
LeBron palming it with his right hand, Morris in front of him. Gets a Hill screen, launches the three, and the Cavs lose by 20.
Woo! Man, LeBron James with his signature on it, and Brad wants a timeout to talk about it.
Cavs 8 of 13 from distance. LeBron has made all three of his. And they're trying to run away and hide early in Game 3.
The Cleveland Cavaliers opened up a 16-point lead in the first half and never looked back. 111-102, the final score as the series is now even at 2 apiece. For the Cavs, it was a perfect recipe. Have everyone get involved with 8 different players scoring in the first, including 11 from LeBron. And for the Celtics, it was what Chan Ho Park would call...
I had a lot of diarrhea.
That's right, Chan Ho Park. It was a lot of diarrhea.
Well, as the ball slapped away and stolen clean by Horford, here's Tatum. Running up the back of Thompson, elevates one for the monster dunk, and he missed it. Off the back iron.
Boston missed 9 of their final 10 shots in the first period, including several attempts from inside the restricted area. And then there was Jaylen Brown, who is usually Mr. First Quarter, but he missed 8 of his first 9 shots from the field, including a couple of missed layups and a pair of blocks by Kyle Korver.
Yeah, in fairness, he had Korver on him
for a lot
of that time.
Yeah, Mark Jackson was covering himself in peanut butter during all those.
I mean, how you expect one of the best athletes to come out of that draft 2 years ago to have any success against Kyle Korver?
I would say that's a little humbling, wouldn't you?
I would say that it's embarrassing.
You walk up the court going, not once but twice to Kyle effing Korver.
He would be isolated against Korver. And first of all, every time he didn't get the ball in that situation, I'd be like, what are you doing?
Yep.
And then second of all, the idea that he wasn't able to take advantage of that matchup was embarrassing.
Yeah, well.
And humbling, embarrassing, and everything else. I mean, off the street, he should be able to beat Korver.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
Even if he just played basketball at the Y, based on what his athletic ability, he should be able to beat Korver.
Well, Brown capped things off with a missed dunk with 17 seconds left in the first quarter. Speaking of missed dunks.
Tatum kicks all the way out to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown switches to the right hand, goes around Korver, and misses the dunk. just when you thought the first quarter couldn't go any worse.
Well, as Wallach mentioned, Jaylen Brown missed 15 dunks and or layups last night.
The
actually,
team
not
did,
just,
not just Jaylen.
I was going to say oh, okay. that. I said it, sometimes right. it just felt like it was Jaylen Brown yeah. because of the way Kyle Korver was blocking his shots.
Yeah.
Well, even worse, the Cavaliers turned all of those misses into 15 points. What a massive swing if you think about that.
Yeah.
So out of the 15 shots they didn't make, the Cavaliers were able to capitalize to the tune of 15. So that is definitely something that could have benefited the Celtics. Just finish your dunk. My God.
They all had that deer in the headlights look. I mean, I think it was near the end of the first half where the Celtics could have held for the final shot and didn't.
Yep.
And Brad Stevens lit them up at halftime after that. Well, I mean, coming off the court. It just, they looked scared. They looked, I don't know what they looked like. They looked like they didn't belong there.
It is a problem.
But
you know
it
what?
Changed in the second half. And you heard Grandy mention that Cleveland made 8 of their first 13 shots from distance. They missed 14 of their final 15.
Yeah.
A lot of Celtics, that was... Well, you know, there were times in the fourth quarter where those shots mattered. Not in the last couple of minutes, but the Celtics were there with about 6 or 7 minutes to go. I'm telling you, I think the Celtics figured some things out in this game.
Then there were situations like this one.
Marcus Morris alone, right side, 3 in the air is good. And they're going to call a foul, I believe, on Morris for reaching out and tripping Love. That basket, are they going to count the basket and then...
Marcus Morris.
Nope. They haven't put it on the board. Normally, in that situation, they count the basket.
Oh God! How can you make that call, though? I mean, he didn't kick his leg out.
It was one of those calls. Morris shot the three. Love tripped over him.
Look at the leg.
That was not a kick out. That was not a World Be Free move.
All right. Well, they obviously had bad seats. So a lot of people are complaining about the refs this morning, and specifically that Marcus Morris was robbed of that three. First of all, let's start with this. In my opinion, the refs made bad calls on both sides last night. I don't have a huge problem with what they did. Also, on that shot right there where they seem to not have seen what everyone else saw on replay, Morris did kick out his leg. Draymond gets called for that all the time. Sure, maybe Love sold a little bit, but really there was no need for even as little as Morris moved his leg. He did it on purpose. There was no need for him to have done that.
Love
there.
Wouldn't have touched him otherwise.
No, but I mean, of course, you know, Love is,
but I mean, he felt him get tripped, and of course, when you're going down, you flail the arms out to sell it, but Love wouldn't have touched him otherwise.
Yeah, again, I'm just going to chalk that up to maybe they have the same seats over at Quicken Loans Arena that they do over at the TD Garden, where they can't go. Although then he'd be watching it on a television, and then he would have seen the same replay that we all saw. But we will get to some of the post-game stuff. The one thing that's most fascinating about this, and I mentioned it the first break, is that it didn't really feel like it. But if you want to look at it, some sort of silver lining, the Celtics actually outscored the Cavaliers during the final three quarters of Game 4. It just is the awful start that they got and the horrible turnovers from Marcus Smart. That's the one thing that the Celtics did do last night. They didn't turn over the ball that much, and the Cavs turned it over a ton. So outside of Marcus Smart, you have the team protecting the ball pretty well. So you got to feel a little bit better going in, obviously, to Game 5, a hell of a lot better than you did after Game 3. But we will get to some of the post-game press conference stuff, including LeBron, once again telling you how great LeBron is. Although at this point, he's not wrong. He's just an a-hole for saying it. So we will get to some of those sound bites after John Wallach's headlines.
All right. Here are the headlines.
Toucher and Rich.
Returning Horford against Tristan Thompson. They want to go to Jaylen Brown and attack Korver. That's where the ball is. Left side of the floor. 9 of the shot clock. Jaylen Brown pulls up. Gobbled up. Blocked by Korver.
Korver with the block shot.
Korver does have length.
He does have legs. He can't run or very unathletic, but he does have legs.
You can't teach length.
You can.
The man's got some righteous bangs working there, too.
But listen, he doesn't play by your rules or anyone else's rules.
He does not.
He is his own. He is Kyle Korver.
Uh-huh. Well, one guy last night who you weren't going to hear bitching about the refs, even though he was set up with a question about it at the post-game press conference, is Brad Stevens.
Coach, what did you think without getting yourself fined? What did you think about the officiating tonight?
You won't hear me complain about officials.
What adjustments?
They have a really hard job, and they do a tremendous job night in, night out. There's no, All right, I've got nothing bad to say.
Yeah, I mean, getting Brad Stevens to say that, I mean, it's like having the Pope deny Christ. You're never going to get that out of Brad Stevens. It's not going to happen. However, Marcus Morris is somebody who will complain about the refs, especially seeing that he was the quote-unquote victim of a bad call. Boy, there's a lot of people who really thought that he got ripped off on that. I don't know how you cannot see that he kicked his leg out.
No, it was
now, it wasn't egregious. I've seen Draymond do worse, but as I was saying before, I've seen him do that and get called for it almost every time.
I had a day, man. I worked hard, worked my ass off defending this position. The ticky-tack problems. It is what it is.
Yeah, so he's talking about the ticky-tack calls there and how he worked his ass off. I'm telling you, Marcus Morris, why keep him in as a starter right now? Give me a reason to keep him in and not put in Aaron Baines.
I think you can
after what you've seen the last several games.
I understand that. On offense, you take away some floor spacing if you have Marcus Morris on the bench. And Aaron, I understand Aaron Baines has shot the ball well from three, but by and large, he's a paint player. And Morris...
Plus, Morris got in that such early foul trouble.
And that's part of it. And I think at the other end of the floor, it's hard now for the Celtics to get Morris matched up on LeBron. LeBron's going to score points, but as Brad Stevens keeps harping on, you're trying to make it as difficult as possible on him. And I think LeBron will find Aaron Baines in space alone on one side of the floor more often than not if you keep Baines in there. I mean, look, Morris hasn't played well the last couple of games. I'll be the first to admit that. But I think if you take him off the floor and sub him in, that might hurt more than help.
I just think that Tristan Thompson has been a guy that has kind of been a thorn in the side of the Celtics the last few games. And
you pick your poison. Cleveland can do that to you. And if you have Tristan Thompson in there, you're not solving the problem at the other end of the floor, which is Tristan Thompson guarding Al Horford. Regardless of Baines, if it's Baines is in there or not, doesn't matter.
Well, at least he'll be able to get some rebounds. That's the one thing is, I mean, at least when Baines is down there, you have as good a shot as anyone. When he's not playing, your chances of getting a rebound
you didn't get crushed on the glass last night like you did in game three.
Boy, it sure did feel
it
like
was
it.
More, well, if you take a look, both teams had 9 offensive rebounds. I mean, it was the turnovers, the bad shooting at the beginning, the missed shots from 5 feet and in, the missed dunks. I keep going back to it. The Celtics missed a total of 15 layups and dunks last night. That had nothing to do with Morris on the floor or not on the floor. It had nothing to do with Tristan Thompson's defense on Al Horford. Celtics were their own worst enemy last night. That was a winnable game.
Here's Marcus Smart talking about looking forward to getting back to Boston.
What's the mood, mindset of you guys heading back home at this point?
Back to the crib. You know, we play well at the crib. We know it. You know, you just got to come play.
So after a Cavaliers win, Doris Burke has to ask the mandatory Doris Burke, LeBron, why are you so great?
I mean, it's 15 years deep, 7 straight.
Okay, just yeah. She She is infuriating.
I just like that people say that she's so talented. And it's really, what are you doing? How many minutes a game does she talk?
Well, I mean, when she's the sideline reporter, she doesn't talk that much. But I mean, when she does colors, she's fine. You know, I have no problem with her.
In her current job, she's being showered with roses for.
Because in the big games, she is the sideline reporter.
Correct.
So she talks
and she's considered the best in the business. I think it's patronizing, quite frankly, that people, like, you know, give her these accolades. I think it's patronizing.
She has to put these people, especially when it's LeBron. I mean, she has to, you know, essentially turn him into a god before she answers a question. She has to get all these accomplishments about LeBron and all these years of doing all the great things of curing cancer and walking on water. Tell me about tonight's game. Like, you don't have to do that. Just ask him about the game. And Doris Burke does that every single time. And I'm telling you,
it's patronizing. I'm telling you that people say that because she's an older woman that they go crazy about her sideline reporting, and I think that they do that and that it's offensive.
Well, I've said before, I don't think her sideline reporting is very good. When she does color, she's fine. But if you're talking about that, you're right.
There's no reason to say that she's so wonderful. And if I'm Doris Burke, I'm saying, like, why me? You know, understand what I'm saying? Like, what am I doing that's so special?
All right, well, here she is. LeBron, why is so great?
I mean, it's 15 years deep, 7 straight finals. How are you doing this in year 15?
You're not in the finals yet. You're not in the finals yet.
No, the Eastern Conference finals.
Well, she's in the finals.
Yeah. Well, that's what she means.
Oh. So she's just jumping to another account.
Yeah.
Hey, she drives me crazy. Do you remember that one time when, I mean, we've played close versus before. It's like, it has been an honor and a privilege to watch you play LeBron James. Oh, my Lord.
I mean, it's 15 years deep, 7 straight finals. How are you doing this in year 15?
Just put a lot of work in. First of all, the man above is giving me some abilities that I've tried to take full advantage of. And I put the work in day in and day out on my body, working on my game every day, but trying to put myself to be in the best condition I could be in the postseason. So my teammates, my coaching staff allowed me to go out and do the things to try to help us win. They trust me. And besides the 7 turnovers tonight, I think I earned their trust a little bit more.
Okay. How are you doing this? That's right. You have to earn their trust every night.
I hate everything about that conversation.
Tons of PEDs, Doris. That's how I'm doing it. They haven't caught me yet with my urine test. Yeah. I had some guy pee in a bottle for me earlier.
He did acknowledge that the hand of God has made him so incredibly strong.
The Lord above has given me all this. That's why I have the words chosen one tattooed on my back.
Right. Well, you're 6'8 and can jump out of the gym. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hey, just want to know, a few days ago, series is Boston 2-0, and you guys, they are talking about sweeps and how this is over. It's funny how things have changed. What's up?
Nobody ever said sweep.
Oh, come on. I heard you guys talking about it was over, man. It was over. You guys were celebrating, putting the cock before the horse.
No, I said they're going to the finals, and I still believe that. I never said sweep.
No way. How can you say that? Look at LeBron. He put on a show the last two games, and it's over, man.
Well, I mean, both teams. I mean,
if you look at triple double in game two, and Cleveland lost. Yeah. I mean, that's not the difference.
And both teams have won on home court. That's kind of the way these series are supposed to go. No one has lost on home court yet. So if you follow the pattern, I mean, I don't think it's a super hot take to say that the Celtics are going to the finals.
Do you think Boston has the backbone to pull this off?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, I mean, yeah, they have the talent. I mean, and Wallach even said it yesterday. I mean, what do you think? It was the jitters in the first period. Something was off, and it got them in a hole. But from the second quarter on, they outscored the Cavaliers.
I think even though the Celtics lost last night, I think the young players turned a corner. I think it was very, very valuable lesson last night. I do.
I also think that everybody has a short memory and tends to look at a series after what happened the night before. And if you look at everything as a total and in its totality, and you look at how well the Celtics have played at home, I don't see how you can't look at this and say, the Celtics have a better chance the Cavaliers of winning this thing. Now, they've definitely put up a fight, and LeBron James is doing everything we thought LeBron James was going to do in those last three games. The game one, I don't know what the hell was happening. He was just taking a day off. But the last three, he's been everything you thought he was going to be. And now it's just up to the Celtics to respond. So we'll see. I mean, Wednesday night is going to be loud as hell. That's going to be a fun game to actually
play. Wednesday night is also the must win for the Celtics, not for Cleveland.
Sure.
If Celtics lose on Wednesday night, then it's over. That series is completely over. They're not coming back from that.
Well, I mean, it would be tough for LeBron James to come back in game 7 and win here at the TD Garden.
But
that would be tough.
Well, look, any team with LeBron on it doesn't matter where they play the game. I mean, tomorrow is crucial for the Celtics, considering how badly they've played on the road this season, this postseason, go in a must-win to Game 6 in Cleveland, and I don't see that happening.
It's a must-win.
All things considered, yes. They just must win tomorrow night.
So I was saying, can we get Delonte West as an honorary captain for Game 5? Well, somebody wanted to do that on Mother's Day. When they played here on Mother's Day,
man.
I think that would have been,
awesome.
Somewhat spectacular. They would have made that happen, but they did not.
I just like that he has sports bikes with guns.
Mm-hmm.
What's that?
Violin case, if I remember correctly.
It was a guitar case full of guns.
Oh, it was a guitar case.
It was like Desperado.
A kick-ass sports bike.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Needs to be asked. Needs to be asked.
I was going back and listening to some Doris Burke stuff. Doris and LeBron, it's just, it's vomit-inducing. This was from, maybe like 2 years ago?
LeBron, no player has to play under the kind of scrutiny and pressure that you do.
Jesus.
I mean, she's just intolerable. Just so bad. And you know what? She's not even that bad with everybody else. It's just with LeBron that you're just like, whoa. And she's got this like she treats it as if it's like life or death.
I'm not positive why you need that. like why that needs to happen after a game.
Well, you see, I want to hear people interviewed after the game. Like, there's a value to that. Then, I want the raw emotion of what just happened. Get somebody there with a microphone.
And talk to the guy that just, it was his fault that the team lost. Don't talk to LeBron James after the game. There's no raw emotion. It's boring.
You see,
it's platitudes.
You see, I liked it when the Celtics won against the 76ers and they went up to Jason Tatum. And Jason Tatum, like, you know, I can't believe this. Yeah, this, I can't believe this right. is happening type of mentality. And
well, you liked it because it was Jason Tatum.
Well, sure. And people who like LeBron James like it because it's LeBron James. Yeah, but I like that raw emotion.
Well, that's, you know, but you, it's not raw emotion.
But you don't
hand crap.
But you don't have to kiss somebody's ass to such an extent before you talk to them. Just talk to them. The question is there. They're
going to answer.
Everybody
knows
it.
He's great. Even non-basketball fans are aware of how great he is. There's no need to explain that in the run-up to the questions you're going to ask him.
Congratulations. It was our pleasure tonight.
I mean, she tells you she's going to cry there. It was our pleasure tonight.
Congratulations. It was our pleasure tonight.
To witness what we saw here. To witness greatness. Hashtag witness graces. Hashtag trademarked by Nike. Hashtag greatness. My God, I can't stand when she does that with LeBron James.
LeBron, no player has to play under the kind of scrutiny and pressure that you do.
And then you get stuff like this. Now, I understand that this is after winning a championship, but...
We'll get in a minute, but he is still crying tears of joy.
Voice is shaking.
LeBron.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Doris.
No worries, Kyrie. LeBron, as soon as that buzzer sounded, your emotions let loose. Can you describe what you're feeling right now?
I set out a goal 2 years when I came back to bring a championship to this city. I gave everything that I had. I poured my heart, my blood, my sweat, my tears to this game, and... Against all odds, I don't know why we want to take the hardest road. I don't know why the man above gives me the hardest role.
The man above is giving you the hardest role.
You had to fight through not being physically gifted and born with freak body.
If you look at the world today, I mean, really, who has it worse than LeBron James?
It's true. I mean, think about what he had to fight through.
They had to come back from a 3-1 series deficit. You know, there's people starving that are saying, eh.
Oh, and that's why I will always hate LeBron James. And everyone says, oh, you know, you have to recognize greatness. Well, okay, he is unbelievable. He's the best player of my generation. I will say that. But stop telling everyone how great you are. We get it. We understand it.
No, he's incredibly narcissistic. And this is because people have been riding him for a living since he was 15 years old.
Well, don't say that. I mean, he's had to fight through so much. Why the man upstairs has to curse him with such a tough path to get to where he was at.
Right. I mean, anyone could realize that, you know, maybe a little humility at that point would be nice.
Somebody said, we need Bird's take on Doris Burke. Maybe we don't. We just let you speculate as to what Bird probably thinks of Doris Burke. He's not a big fan of Susie
Bird,
Colbert.
Bird, what is your take on Doris Burke?
Bird? What's that?
Says he's staying out of it.
Okay.
Did your girlfriend yell at you last time you talked
again,
about women?
A home run from the Bird.
That's right. Way to go, Bird. Appreciate it. But LeBron did say this about...
He can't sully his reputation by commenting on Doris Burke.
No, he can't. Well, LeBron did say this about coming home or coming to the TD Garden for Game 5.
It's a hostile environment. We understand that. We know that. There's no love in there. If you ain't got on green, if you don't play for that team, if you don't bleed green, they got no love for you, so... We got to come out with a bunker mentality. I understand it's just us. It's going to be a great atmosphere. They have not lost the game in the postseason yet on their home floor. So they play extremely confident. We know that. And it's going to be a tough, but a collective group. And if we play like we did in 3 and 4, then we give ourselves a good chance.
There you go. So Game 5 is going to be here tomorrow night. Sean Grandy and Cedric Maxwell hopefully will... not be bored by the game, and hopefully it won't be any kind of lopsided way one way or the other, and the Celtics will end up beating the Cavaliers.
If they do not, that you can kiss this goodbye. This is a must-win scenario. No question about the youth on the team, the lack of experience. They lose that Game 5, and you can pretty much write off Game 6. All right, John Wallach is more than just a guy who covers sports. He's also a man of many interests.
There is this one strange thing that he is a savant on, and we have done this once before, but John mentioned something the other day, and I was like, you know what? It's time to bust this back out again.